Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Attention, please.
Now taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Chris is unapologetic about being a former pitcher and wanting all the rules skewed towards the pitchers.
And Chris Ello.
Sprained his ankle. They do that.
I do that every day.
I was about to say.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Two hours into Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Annie Halbrum joining me today. Annie, thank you for coming in once again.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Padres seemingly getting closer to a managerial pick. At least that's according to... who wrote down our goal?
Kevin Acey.
Man.
Of the San Diego Union.
You buy your papers.
Buy your paper.
according to Kevin Acey, it seems as though Jace Tingler has become the front runner for this managerial job. And it doesn't come as you worded it perfectly. It's not a shock, but it is kind of a surprise,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. I think so. I mean, I think that 90% of us are, you know, all the signs pointed to Ron Washington, and it says in his story that it's unclear why Ron Washington is not the front runner. You and I talked earlier about them doing a thorough investigation, and then also, Tony, just wonder if they're just letting AJ go with his guy on this one. This is, if he feels that strongly about it, maybe this is the guy that he's going to live and die on. I think your point earlier was interesting, though. You know, he comes in, Jace Tingler, and it's going to be a hard climb for him, not just with the fans and the outside world, but just kind of replacing someone else who was a first-time manager and having heard all those players talk about wanting experience.
So there's a stigma behind it
exactly.
Now, right? Because the first-time manager, it didn't go as everybody planned the first time. So now a lot of people, and rightfully so, will look at it as like, wait a minute, we've already been down this road. And despite my feelings about Jace Tingler, I understand the logic in that. I really do. And it begs you to wonder, right, if – I think we can all agree in this room that this is one of the most important hires the Padres have made in maybe history, right?
I agree. Although I will say, and I wonder if you agree with me on this, it's almost, do you think it's as important as the way they build this roster in the offseason?
No, I don't.
Because neither do I.
I don't. But,
but it is important.
Based on the cornerstones that you already have, you would think, and especially the way AJ addressed the media shortly after they fired Andy Green.
Exactly.
One of the things that stuck out in my mind is he wanted a guy that could elevate a Manny Machado and an Eric Hosmer. Now, I don't know about you, but first-time manager doesn't come to mind when I'm thinking elevating two veterans like that.
No, and when you're talking about like mid-season, when you're on the fence, you could go either way in the season, and you know you want a guy that has been there, done that, that knows how to get you to that other side, you know. And they, what's the buy-in on someone like that? Like even if Jace Tingler, like let's say Jace Tingler is the best guy in the world,
we already know what Eric Hosmer thinks and what he would like to see as a manager. I mean, he's already come out and said that, so.
Yeah. That's the hard part. That's the hard part is the players have already come out and said that they're wanting a guy with experience and whatnot. But, you know, like we talked about, I think maybe, you know, you got to let AJ live and die on this one. Like maybe you got to throw that out there. And again, maybe they're learning something that doesn't sit well with them with the other candidates that we just don't know about, you know? So there could be different things pointing different directions.
That's the thing, is the Padres have been very tight-lipped on who's even getting interviews. So we don't know. We only the names that they've allowed to come out are the names that we know. Yeah. Mark Loretta, as you mentioned earlier, yes. Brad Ausmus. What is the gentleman, the third base coach's name for, is it Bobby?
Is it Bob Henley?
Henley, yes. Yeah. Bob Henley, third base coach for the Nationals.
Him. Yes.
Those are the only, and we've heard Ron Washington and we heard Jace Tingler. Those are only five guys that we know, or at least that have been reported to have had an interview.
Yeah.
None of the, those, by the way, those, none of those names were the names that we were talking about the day after Andy Green was fired, right?
No, exactly. And the other thing, too, is like they're not going to make this decision quickly. So it seems like the longer that they've let this decision kind of marinate, because it's marinated. And it sounded to me for a long time there, like they were very impressed with Ron Washington. So, you know, it could be that simple where they're just letting AJ Preller make that decision. Maybe he feels just a bit stronger about Jace Tingler and they're going to let him, you know, kind of ride that decision for better or for worse. Or it could be something more where they're you know, doing their due diligence and they're just not comfortable with a certain aspect. So I don't know that we're gonna find that out, you know, anytime soon, because of what you said. They're being very tight-lipped, and I think that they're going to be throughout this entire process until they announce who they did. And even then, we might not even know, you know. But it definitely is. They've got to know. The Padres have to know how this is going to look.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure they are weighing all of that. We want to hear from you guys out there. What are your feelings? You know, as Kevin Acey writes this new article, and it certainly seems like tide has changed a little bit, because at one point Ron Washington was a favorite. Now it seems as though Jace Tingler's the favorite. How do you guys feel about that out there, this Padre fan base? 833-288-0973. We got a caller online, Dexter in Spring Valley. Welcome to the Gwen and Chris Show. What's on your mind, Dexter?
Well, you know, you got first of all, welcome, Annie.
Thank you so much, Dexter.
Secondly, you know, you guys are talking about, like, you know, all of a sudden this is turnaround. You know, I think one thing that you guys didn't mention could be a factor is money.
Yeah.
A rookie manager is going to cost next to nothing, whereas an experienced manager is going to cost money. Because look at how much Joe Maddon just signed for, you know, just a few miles north of here with the Angels. So,
Dexter,
you know what I mean?
This is why open up the phone lines, because there may be things that, in this case, myself and Annie hadn't thought of, and most of the time it's Chris up here. That's a great point, Dexter. The fact that they are still paying Andy Green, because he had an extension. He signed that, what, last? Was it last year he signed? Last year he signed
Thanks,
an extension.
Dexter.
So they're still paying him. That could mean a big portion as far as why they've decided to go that. We don't know at this point. We'll find out. Dexter, thank you for your call and the good information there, by the way. All right.
Seriously.
Game two has started, and Trey Turner has found his way on first base to start this game. Nationals in action early. Now, you remember what happened yesterday. He got on first base, proceeded to steal second. Now,
got us all tacos.
He did get us all tacos.
Oh, steal a base, steal
even
a taco.
You guys out there listening. Tacos.
October 30th, don't forget.
Let me go ahead and put that in my phone
really
right
Thomas
now.
I really like Thomas kind of jumping in on that. That's a good...
That's how they get you, is they remind you that you want a taco, but then they wait 3 weeks or, you know, a couple weeks and
then
you
hope you forget about the taco.
And then you buy, like, a bunch of stuff.
Here's the thing, is that I'm sure when Taco Bell originally went into this deal with Major League Baseball, they did all their research. Man, stolen bases are down. They got the wrong guy.
The
wrong team to be in the World Series, because these two guys at the top of the Nationals lineup, Adam Eaton and Trey Turner, they like to run a little bit. So tacos could be abound here very much for everybody.
What kind of taco, Thomas?
Doritos Locos
Tacos.
Let's go, my man.
Taco
Thomas.
Taco Thomas, that's his new name.
Taco Thomas. What were we calling him before?
Thomas.
Taco Thomas is where it's at now, for sure.
Taco Thomas.
Remember a while back, there was like a furniture company that promised to do something if somebody
in
wanted.
Houston.
And in Houston.
It was Houston. And the guy.
He actually tried, I think he bet.
$3.5 million bet on the Astros winning the World Series.
To recoup his money from when he got rid of it all the first time.
And that bet is in trouble right now. Astros, Adam Eaton singles to left. Runners in first and second with one out. All right, we're going to step away and take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about this Panthers 49ers matchup. This is a very, very interesting matchup. Eric Reed, remember, he was the one that was kneeling when he was a Niner. Didn't feel like he was treated very well by that organization.
I'm angry about this.
Had a great year. They released him, let him go. Carolina didn't pick him up. He's played well for him. He's playing the 49ers going back there. Mm. He's got some things on his mind. We'll get into it next.
Guys play for whatever their reasons are, and, you know, Eric's got his own reasons, and obviously he's talked to you guys about it already. So, you know, Eric will do what he does. He's a professional. He gets on the field. He plays the game the way it needs to be played. So I'm not worried about Eric.
Ron Rivera giving his 2 cents on Eric Reed returning to play against the 49ers, who, by the way, are playing some very, very good
6-0, baby! Mm-hmm.
Yes, Gravy. I purposely did not mention the record because I didn't want you to chime in, but you found a way to do it anyway.
You've waited a long time for this.
But obviously, Carolina Panthers strong safety Eric Reed, wouldn't use the word revenge or bitter to describe his feelings about Sunday's game against unbeaten San Francisco. He just simply said, and I'm quoting, "I just don't forget." Reed said Wednesday about facing his former team as the Panthers, who are 4-2, mind you, without Cam Newton, have found a way to win some games. And they're going up against a team that I think everybody was kind of unsure about through the first three victories. But after these last three, I think people are starting to believe that the Niners are a team that's really good. Now, listen, we had a discussion maybe a couple weeks ago about revenge games and how real that is for athletes. I can tell you from personal experience, if anybody tells you that they don't want to do great against a former team, especially one that you actually don't like, they're lying to you.
I'm laughing inside, internally right here, because I was just going to say, Tony, I love when I do interviews and you can tell a guy has just played out of his mind because it's a former team. And he's like, no, it was just a game. And it's like, of course it wasn't. You know, a lot of guys usually will, before the game, they'll be like, this is just a game. But then they have a great game and they're like, okay, yeah, there was more to it. But you're absolutely right. Like, it means something, and he wants to do well against his team.
I know every time when I played for when I got traded to the Padres, every time I faced Milwaukee, I wanted to do damage, and I did. And then when I played for the Dodgers, every time I played against the Pod, I wanted to do damage. And it's a motivating factor. I think it's just another way for an athlete to find an edge. And that's what every athlete is looking for, is an edge. No matter where you get it from, if you can get 100%. It, it's helpful. It's helpful in your game.
Look at Jed Jerko against the Padres.
I'm just kidding.
But
not just Jed Jerko. Every Padre that returns. They tend to play well, right?
But yeah, I definitely. And I just think that there is something to, hey, a team didn't want me. Even if there was more context to it than that.
Even if it's fake. Even if it's fake in your head, you will find something to make you upset at that team so you can go out and play better. There's no doubt. Now, somebody who is at risk, it seems like, is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we all saw him lying on the field. Mm. Was that last Sunday? Was it Sunday?
Thursday night.
With his knee, like, he couldn't.
Discombobulated.
It was in different directions.
It was a sad sight.
Yeah, it was. They pop it back into place. And here he is practicing today. This is amazing. I mean, he practiced Wednesday, less than a week after the dislocating his right kneecap in Thursday night's win over Denver. Coach Andy Reid said backup quarterback Matt Moore, who replaced Mahomes against the Broncos, would get a good percentage of the reps. But nevertheless, after a dislocated kneecap, Andy, he's practicing already.
Yeah, I'm a little scared for him, but at the same time, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. So if he's healthy and he's good, you know, and it worries me a little bit with that offensive line. I know he's not having quite the last few games that he's been in offensively, the numbers that they're used to. But, you know, I hope, though, I guess the one thing you would worry about is he really ready to play? And are you going to put him in too soon and then, you know, further risk a bigger injury? But man, you know, this kid is something. I mean, he really is. And
he's special.
He is special.
He's special. Yeah. I mean, what was that trivia last night? Like 5,000 yards. It was one season.
Oh, yeah. He had one season of 5,000 yards passing.
I guess two,
three.
Mike guessed three. Yeah. And it was just like, man, he's certainly talented. The backup, Matt Moore, said that he has not been told whether he will start Sunday night's game against Green Bay, which gets the Green Bay Packers at Arrowhead Stadium. Andy Reid said he wasn't surprised Mahomes made such a quick return to practice after receiving the results of the MRI on the injured knee. It was the best possible result. And I just kind of, it's just the kind of program in the way things roll, said Andy Reid. Their trainer Rick Burkholder does a good job of managing their injured guys, so they're not doing too much or not enough. I trust them to do their job. So Andy's basically depending on this training staff. If you tell me he's good to go, I will be extremely happy.
That does not surprise me about Andy Reid. The only thing about it is, if you watched Patrick Mahomes before his knee injury, he was limping around quite a bit.
His ankle was messed up.
Yes. Oh my God.
You have to wonder.
His kid,
yeah,
know?
Like, and listen, for as good as Patrick Mahomes has been, I think everybody has to remember he's been healthy.
Yes.
He's been relatively healthy. Going out and playing with an ankle can lead to something like a dislocated knee. Not that they necessarily had exact correlation with one another, but it's a different thing when you can't plant on your foot and make good throws. I mean, because that's what separates Patrick Mahomes, right?
It does, and I'm just really surprised that they're not going to take this time to at least give him an extra week to help that ankle out, because like you said, he was limping big time, and they thought originally when he went down, they thought it was he aggravated the ankle. It wasn't anything to do with his knee, and so I don't know about this.
Who are they playing?
They have the Packers.
Oh, on Sunday Night Football.
The Packers. And
maybe that's why. NFL's like, please.
Yeah. Don't. Not only that, but this team, Kansas City, hadn't been playing that well.
No,
they're not
at all.
They're not sitting at the top of the division like they were last year. So these games may mean a little bit more than they did last year at this point of year.
I agree.
Steven Strasburg starts out his night with a punch out. He gets Springer to start the game. What you guys
think? I got a good stat. I don't know if we've mentioned this. I really hope not, because I'm really good at mentioning things you've already mentioned.
But yeah, you are really good at that. You're right.
Like 10 seconds after you guys mention it.
Hey, did you hear about this?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is the first World Series to feature two pitchers that were both number one overall picks in the draft and signed. Strasburg 2009, Garrett Cole 2008. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Wow.
First time in history that two number one picks are pitching in the World Series?
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that seems like it would have already happened.
That just goes to show you that number one picks, high draft picks, don't guarantee you anything.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
That is 100% truth.
They don't guarantee you anything.
I am telling you, the one thing that we should all learn is, like, yeah, it's great to have prospects. It's great to have good chips. It's great to have that in your, in your court. But my goodness, you just don't know, do you?
You don't. Which is why I also, if what is being reported is true, that Jace Tingler is the front runner. Listen, I'm here all the time, right? We do this show every day, and based on the calls we get, people are starting to finally get weary of the whole prospect thing. I think people are ready to see the result now of the prospect, and they haven't felt like they've gotten that yet. And that's why I think this is going to be such a tough job to walk into for a first-time manager, because that rope that you might have been given for a little bit of slack, it's going to be really tight when you sign up for this job, especially if you're a first-time manager.
I think Dexter hit the nail on the head, is that a first-time manager is just so much cheaper. And if they're going to go after guys in free agency, they're going to need to save money somewhere.
That's a good point. So I think the trade-off is, if you bring in Jace Tingler, the fan base is probably going to expect there to be some serious
better
movement.
Better get Garrett Cole
on
or
that
something
roster,
like that.
Right?
I got another incredible fact.
Oh, you and your incredible facts.
Jason Stark tweeted this out. You sound so excited. That was a great fact. This is about Steven Strasburg. This will be the first time in World Series history that a number one overall pick will start a series game for the team that drafted him.
How about that? So many of these guys
is wild.
Don't even end up making it with the team that drafted them.
First time.
Yeah.
Which explains even more to me, right? Like, you have to have some patience with these guys. I don't know.
I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like, you do. And that's another thing with Jace Tingler. I mean, because you've heard the players say, too, they're kind of tired of the developmental stuff. They want to go on to the winning and you know, it's fair game and everything, but Jace Tingler will have a part of him that's going to have to be patient with a lot of these guys that are coming up.
And vice versa. They're going to have to be patient yeah. with him a little bit too, right? They're all learning to get to know each other if this ends up happening. Nothing's set in stone at this point, so we'll see. Oh, bad base running job. Altuve doubles off of Strasburg, tries to steal third, gets thrown out. He makes the second out at third base in the first inning. All right, it's great. What do we got on the countdown coming up?
I believe, since we were supposed to have pizza, we were going to do the top five best pizza toppings.
Oh, yeah.
We can go with that?
We can get down
with that.
I'm down with that. We can get down. You guys love to talk about these food, top five
call
foods.
Us.
So feel free to give us a call. Give us yours as we go through our countdown. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
We have ourselves a tie ball game. Alex Bregman, two-run shot, ties this game at two apiece. Strasburg misplaced a changeup. That was middle
end. I like how you put that.
Just didn't go where he thought it would go.
Right. And then Bregman lost it off of the left field wall over the stands there. So 2-2 ball game. You know this game wasn't going to be an easy one. I mean, these two teams, the best two teams left in the tournament.
That's what's making it so good.
Right. So it's compelling. All right. Let's get into this countdown, Scrabe. What are we doing? Top five
pizza toppings.
Pizza toppings. Mm-hmm. Now, clarify a little bit. Are we just talking about individual toppings? Are we talking about, like, names of, like, Hawaiian pizza, right?
I think it could be whatever you want.
I like the way you're talking. All right.
Because we just...
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
We had a little issue earlier because we were supposed to eat pizza.
But we were.
So we ordered pizza. And
I'm hungry.
It'll be here, Annie, at 6 p.m., I believe.
Lovely.
And so I asked Tony, what kind of pizza do you want? And he immediately shot back with pepperoni. I said, that's it?
So you can imagine what's going to be at the top of my list.
Oh, are we giving it away already? No.
I mean.
Jeez.
If I answer that quick, that's got to be a number one topping, right? I mean.
Yeah. But I was a little concerned because just pepperoni, you never go like pepperoni sausage, mushrooms.
No.
Why ruin it?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
And then Annie said, it's okay. I usually pick off all my toppings anyway. I'm like, what kind of pizza room am I in?
Straight cheese pizza right there.
But Thomas, are you a big topping guy?
No.
It's just you, bro.
I'm just going to walk out.
It's just you.
Thomas Tacos.
All right.
Taco Thomas.
Let's get to this top five. Let's get to our first...
Number five
for me, sometimes you need a little spice added to your pizza. Nothing better than adding some jalapenos on there. I think jalapenos are, if you like spice, not everybody is a spice person. I am. I don't mind sweating while I'm eating.
Me neither.
It typically happens as a bald-headed man. I don't have anything to cool me down. The hair isn't there. So you know if something's hot. and I'm sweating. That's just how it goes. Number five for me is
when you're like under eyes start sweating.
It's usually my nose first that starts to get a little wet.
Now, are you picky? Do you like your jalapenos diced or whole?
I like them. I like them sliced. I don't. The diced is all right, but it becomes too much at times. I like the whole slice of jalapeno. Annie, what's your number five?
My number five, you guys are going to end up hating me after the segment. My number five is
serious stuff.
Veggies.
You like veggies on your pizza?
I like some veggies.
What's your favorite veggie?
Pizza? Well, I like arugula. Like, is that weird?
Oh, my goodness.
Arugula?
I have to look up what arugula looks like.
I can tell you what it is. It's a replacement for lettuce.
No, it's kind of, it's got like a little bittery kind of so mixed.
It has
with
a cilantro type of feel to it.
I like cilantro.
I love cilantro.
Okay, good. I love cilantro.
That's not so weird. I
go with cilantro.
Arugula on a pizza, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a nice, I don't know. It's like
I know
like
occasionally.
Bell peppers, olives.
Okay. Occasionally, they'll put arugula on your burger, mm-hmm. and it completely just messes it up.
It can mess it up. Because it's sweet to balance it.
Yeah, the burger isn't that. It's not sweet.
No.
All right, let's get on
number four.
Number four for me, it took me a long time to come to this conclusion because I battled it for a long time. I just did not feel like it belonged on a pizza, but as I got older, I developed taste buds for it. That's a pineapple.
I'm pineapple. My number four was pineapple.
Pineapple, wow. For yes. Sure. After my palate matured enough, pineapple became acceptable on my pizza. Occasionally.
Are we going Hawaiian or just pineapple?
No, we're doing toppings. So, yes, I would have it on a Hawaiian pizza along with another topping that you'll hear from me later.
I like pineapple now. I'm the same way. I didn't used to like it. And now I'm like, oh, it's delicious.
It is. It sometimes you need a little tang and sweetness to go along with it. Would you give me the...
I'm saying, if you want to try to get people involved.
Oh, we will. We will after we get done with the segment. We'll get people involved.
Number three.
Oh, yeah, because you already did your... Canadian bacon, which is ham. Really.
Thank you.
That's what I knew it was for a long time. I didn't realize it was different until I started realizing, wait, this does kind of seem like ham. Why don't you just call it ham? But instead it's Canadian bacon. I like that as well as my number three topping.
You guys are... I'm never going to be allowed in here. I like truffle.
Salt.
I like truffle pizza. Have you ever had truffle pizza?
I have, and delicious.
I like truffle.
It's delicious.
I never had it on pizza, but
I
like
it.
Oh,
it's so good. Oh, you got to try it. Like a crispy, like a thin crust with truffle.
Mm. I agree. That is delicious.
Okay, I'm going with truffle.
Sounds delicious. All right.
Number two
for me, this is probably going to gross you guys out a little bit. Jalapenos. I already said jalapeno. I meant to say anchovies. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not remember into the anchovies. This. When we were at Ravino, the foodery downtown, Tony got pizza with anchovies on it.
It came with anchovies, and I just asked that they didn't take it off.
And that's your number two?
It's my number two, man. Anchovies.
That's so gross.
You know where I first got the idea? This is taking you guys back, right? You know you used to eat anchovies on their pizza all the time? The Teenage Ninja Turtles.
That's true. I was about to say that, but I was like, if I say this, I'm going to get roasted for it.
No, you're not going to get roasted. We were all kids at one point. We watched cartoons. I personally, that's where I got the idea from. I didn't even know you could put anchovies on a pizza until I started seeing the Ninja Turtles do it.
Do they taste fishy?
Yeah, what do they taste like?
Yes, they taste. There's just no... They're salty. So, you know, you get a little extra salt.
And then you got some eyeball in there with it.
Yeah, see, you're going too far now.
But that's what they have.
I didn't notice the eyeballs. Now I probably will. And I won't want to eat it anymore.
Okay, well, since you said we could pick, like, full pizza, like a combo.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going with a barbecue chicken pizza.
There we go.
Is that weird? With, like, some sweet onions, some, like, good barbecue sauce. I'm down with that.
What time is that pizza coming?
Yeah.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
All right, good. We're gonna need lots
Mouth
of
is watering.
Yes, indeed it is.
Number one.
How can you not have the classic pepperoni? My dad really kind of ruined my mind on this. He was
really?
That's all he ever had was pepperoni pizza. So I spent most of the time eating pepperoni pizza. And it's something that I rarely order any of the other four things I named on my list. It's usually round table pepperoni pizza all day long.
Was he like a thin crust, thick crust? Did it matter?
He introduced me to the thin crust.
Ooh, really?
I knew nothing about it. You know, we were a Pizza Hut family there for a long time, so I only knew about the pan and the hand tossed, right? And then he brought home a thin crust pizza that changed my life forever.
It changed my life.
You guys know I like to eat. I work out a lot so that I can eat, basically. That's why I work
out.
So I can
eat.
I like to eat, but I don't work out, so that's the way I look the way I do.
Pepperoni's my number one, too, because how can you not? It's classic. You know, it's what you grew up on.
Yep.
It's delicious.
It's simple.
You can't really mess it up. You know what I'm saying?
You are a brutal cook if you mess up a pepperoni pizza.
You know?
Just no getting around.
And I feel like when you're really craving pizza, like, that's what you're craving. You're craving, like, you know, pepperoni pizza.
You know what it is about? If you get the crisp pepperoni.
Oh, the best.
Not the one, you know, you don't want it.
You ask a little well done. You
need it well done. I don't want it to come out like salami. I want it to be crispy and a little spice to it. That's a pepperoni.
I almost want it burned. Burn it for me.
I'm not mad when they burn the little edges of the pepperoni, for sure. I think that's the best way to do it.
Annie just said, I like everything burned.
I love the crust a little burned. I love things burned.
Are you well done?
A little burned. Yes.
You're well done?
I'm well.
Not on steaks?
If I'm getting like a burger, it would be like a medium. It would be like a medium well. Yeah.
Medium well.
So it would be like a little bit more. Less on the rare side. Yes.
Not
are you,
bloody.
Are you rare? Are you bloody?
You know what's funny is Mudcat, Mark Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating with him our last road trip, and I can't remember where we went, but we ordered some burgers. Oh, we were in Colorado. It was one of the last trips. We were in Colorado, and we're sitting down in the lobby. We're getting ready to eat some food. It's after a game, after a long game, and. They mixed up our burgers. I ordered mine's medium well, and he ordered his medium.
Oh.
And I don't think I'm going back.
You're not going back?
I don't think I'm going back to medium well.
Oh, I thought you meant to the restaurant.
No, the restaurant is legit. I eat there all the time. The medium burger was quite tasty.
See?
I don't know.
It's got
a little juice. And I think I'm going to have a burger like that for the rest of my life.
I used to eat.
Sometimes it takes something like that.
A lot of times, a lot of things that I've got a chance to taste or I've acquired over time have been because of things like that. Like a mess up. Like, I don't feel like sending it back waiting for another 30 minutes to get my food. I'll just eat this.
You're like, that's good.
Where are we at with goat cheese?
I like goat cheese.
Not me a good too. Fan of goat cheese. I need regular cheese.
You don't like goat cheese?
No, give me the mozzarella. All right, that's the end of our countdown.
Good stuff.
Dexter is back on the line.
Dexter's back.
Dexter, what's on your mind?
Okay, guys.
What you got on these topics?
So, for Annie, she wants to get all fancy and everything.
Yes, very.
Chicken pesto.
Ooh, I would like that.
And for Tony, because you love pepperoni and you love the pineapple, where I grew up in Vista, Oceanside, with the Samoy brothers, they had a pizza called the Angry Samoan, which was jalapeno, pepperoni, and pineapple.
Sounds like my kind of pizza, mm-hmm. Dexter.
My mouth is watering.
They called it the Angry Samoan.
The Angry Samoan. Well, listen.
As opposed to the Hawaiian.
Dexter, once again, you're right on time, man. I mean, last time you gave us some information that probably slipped Annie and I's mind, and now you're coming with the pizza toppings, man. That's excellent, man. Good work.
Yeah,
thank you, Dexter.
Good job, Dexter.
All right.
I'm on Ranker.com, and the number one pizza topping is pepperoni.
Of course it is.
Don't get so mad.
What's the number two?
Mozzarella. I mean, I guess it is
like
a topping.
Oh, like the chunks of mozzarella?
No, it says just mozzarella.
I guess think about that. Like cheese. It's a given.
Isn't it on the pizza?
Yeah.
Numero tres is mushroom police.
Was mushroom even mentioned in any of our top fives?
I think it goes into the veggies category.
Hell no.
Thomas?
Hell no. All right.
Do you guys see...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you guys see what Shaq...
I was just getting ready to get into this story
I took
there.
Your thunder. I'm
you
sorry.
You did. But it's all good. So... what was it, last week? Or no, it's probably been about a 2-week thing going on right now between China and the NBA. And it seems like everybody it's kind of left GM for the Rockets, Daryl Morey, kind of out on an island.
That's what I felt like.
It hasn't felt like he's had anybody defending him. Well, look no further. Shaq Diesel is here to rescue you. And Shaq came out in support of Daryl Morey. And he said the GM was right about Hong Kong. Appearing on TNT pregame analyst Tuesday evening, O'Neal weighed in on the controversy by explaining that both China and the United States understand each other's values. And I'm quoting, "And one of the best values here in America is free speech. We're allowed to say what we want to say, and we are allowed to speak out on injustices. That's just how it goes," O'Neal told the panel. "If people don't understand it, that's something they have to deal with." And I was kind of happy to see Shaq come to Daryl Morey's defense on this one, Annie.
I agree, and I also feel like if no one's coming to your defense, but then Shaq does, hey, who else would you want but Shaquille O'Neal coming to your defense?
Shaq has been the cleanup man. He pretty much came in and tried to – he's cleaned up Papa John's whole kind of – what's the word I'm looking for?
Like their image?
The
like
image. He's cleaned up their image after the controversy they found themselves in. So, and if anything, it gives them a little equity to come in here and say, yeah, I think Daryl Morey is absolutely right in the things that he tweeted. More importantly, he has the right to say it.
That's what I
think.
Like.
I think that's the important part in this whole thing is that despite Adam Silver coming out early on and saying that we, of course, will support the right of Daryl Morey and his right to freedom of speech, there hasn't really been much said about Daryl Morey since that point.
No.
And Shaq is the first one to come back and say, listen, this is like one of the biggest things in America that we promote. That's part of our fabric, and that's freedom of speech.
You're absolutely right. I thought he said it really smartly. I think that Shaq said it in a very smart way that, you know, that he should be able to say what he wants to say, and that's something that we value here in America, and we're going to continue to value that here in America. So I thought that that was very well said by him, and it's good for him. It's good to say that someone has said something about it.
Clearly, athletes nowadays feel a lot more comfortable speaking out on social issues than ever before. And I think social media clearly has a big is a big reason why that's the case, right? Because for a long time athletes just didn't feel comfortable. They didn't want to cost themselves any extra change. There's a lot of reasons why athletes didn't do it before, but that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, and in the NBA, where they pride themselves on that, I mean, that is like one of their tenets of being, you know, in the NBA is that they've got that kind of leash to say what they want to say. I think that, you know, if you're going to do that, own it. You know, just be, that's who you guys are as a league, and that's what you're going to stand for. But overall, yeah, like now you're seeing it a lot more within social media and within all kinds of professional sports, and I think, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to see continue. People are not going to stop anytime soon voicing their opinions.
Yeah, this will be, I think, what we remember most about athletes of this particular generation is that they were more than willing to speak out on social issues, just speak out in general. When they feel like there was something wrong done, they have no hesitation now.
And, you know, it's so interesting, too, because I think, like, as millennials come up and everything, and, like, there's this, you know, fear that maybe they're not going to be as interested in certain sports and things like that. This is a way sometimes to draw kind of the everyday person in on issues. And I don't know if it's right, it's wrong, if it's going to cost someone their contract, who knows? But if someone feels strongly about it, it's something that can kind of, you know, gel a community that maybe hasn't paid attention before, then I think it is a good thing. It kind of moves conversation along.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of thinking that athletes are just like subhuman. You know what I mean? Right?
I think LeBron has coined the phrase more than an athlete, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's just kind of where we're at now. A couple updates and some scores. 2-2, bottom of the second.
That's another good one.
Astros, Nationals, Celtics and 76ers tied at 48 apiece. Going into halftime, I want to go back to this Laker game, and Stack Jack brought it up as it pertains to Kawhi and LeBron. And I don't know if you guys watched the game last night, but there was I would say Kawhi looked like what everybody has been pointing out is that he's the best player on the planet right now, and the former Aztec didn't disappoint last night. He got off to a slow start, but it didn't take long for him to get in a groove and for that Clipper team to really be rolling. And it's hard to deny that Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the game right now.
I heard someone say earlier that teams can kind of take on his personality of just very methodical, very very hardworking. It's just going to be really interesting because that kind of a player, I mean, it can really change the trajectory of everything, but he is something to watch. I mean, he's just kind of like this quiet force.
That's what's so fun to watch about him, right? Yeah. Is that he doesn't show any emotion. I mean, mm-hmm. the most emotion we saw was when that ball bounced around the rim 4 or 5 times in the last year playoff. It goes in. They advance. I think he put his arms up, but I don't know that he ever said any actual words. Yeah. And you're right. It's easier to get behind a dude that just shows up to work, I guess, doesn't have, at least on the outside looking in, doesn't seem to have any ego about him. Right. He just goes about his work very methodically. And when you have a bunch of dogs in a kennel, as Stack Jack said.
Love how he said that.
That you get, there's a hunger that comes with it. And it's a trip to me to see how well they seemingly already are playing together. And I know that team's been together all of last year for most part. They added Paul George, they added Kawhi Leonard, but there was no doubt that he was the best player on the floor last night.
It looks like, too, from
that's
what,
hard for me to say, too, because he plays for the Clippers, by the way.
I know, you're the Lakers guy.
His stomach is turning in knots right now.
But you know, he is a former Aztec.
He so is, which makes it a little bit easier. Makes it a little bit easier.
It looks like, too, that he, you know, he kind of has, obviously, the persona to the media, which is him, which I don't think that he's faking anything. It's just how he is. But for his teammates, I mean, he looks very well-liked by his teammates in the
sense
that he gels with them.
Well, I've been in locker rooms with some superstars before, and you know, the ones that acted like superstars, it was much harder to get close to
them.
Even when you were having a good conversation, you never felt like you were in, you know? Whereas some of the other superstars I played with, you didn't get that feeling. You felt like you wouldn't even, if had you not watched them play, CeCe Sabathia comes up immediately. If had you not seen what he done on the mound, you'd think he was just a regular dude. But the guys who can bring other guys in and bring people in as a manager would are the guys that are most valuable because teammates enjoy being around them and they like to play with them.
People underestimate, I think, like the locker room dynamics, the clubhouse dynamics in that sense too, where it's like, if you have these guys who are untouchable or who really aren't, you know, bringing in the younger guys or kind of making them feel like they belong, it does make a difference as compared to someone who,
100%.
You know, kind of embraces that role and maybe, you know, just kind of lets them into the fold a little bit. But yeah, to your point, I mean, you kind of have to have that dynamic.
You do. And you know, you bring up a good point because when the non-superstars don't feel like the superstars can be held accountable for anything. It makes you less wanting to run through a wall for a team or a manager because you know that it's not going to be reciprocated the same way, you know? So I think that's a very important point. I think that's why the Padres are ahead of the curve in terms of that because they have some good locker room guys in there, guys that can move the needle, guys that can bring guys together. I think they lost one when they gave up Fran Mil Reyes.
Yes,
but
I agree.
I still think they have enough in there that can make it work without a big personality like that.
You know, it's so interesting because when you bring up Eric Hosmer to like any of them, one of the traits that they're so high on with Eric Hosmer is that he is that guy that gets to know them, that knows like their dog's name and their you know,
that's
what they
huge.
Did. And, you know, and it's not just the guys that are as good, you know, up on that level as him or the starters. It's everyone, you know, and he remembers. And I think that those are little things that I think just make a huge difference. I think people also assume sometimes that everybody in the locker room gets along or is best buddies or, you know, and the dynamic is so far from that.
It is so far from that. And just think about what you're doing. You're bringing 25 different individuals from all walks of life, and then you're putting them in the locker room for 162 games.
Oh, God.
You're literally with them for in that 7-8 month span, counting spring training, more than you're with your family. Yeah. So you need to be able to like the people that you go to work. It's no different than showing up to a 9-to-5 job. If you aren't happy in your work environment, you're not going to perform at your best.
There's
just no doubt about it. All right. That being said, it's time to step away. Get to this last hour of the show. We've got some NFL news and notes in this hour. We got a replay of Stack Jack.
He was great.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Stay tuned. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.